This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we'll be dissecting upcoming summer movies. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Right at the top, though, we got two guests on the show. It's Bria and Shane.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Bria and Shane, everyone. Bria and Shane.
Yes, everyone needs to come listen to our shows live because we've been laughing for a very long time thanks to Shane's announcer voice.
That we have. So, yes, this will be a fun episode. Boy. Okay. Moving on.
Oh, we're just lucky I'm not drinking.
You're not?
Oh, no, this is me toned down.
Oh, God. I'm very sorry, Emily.
Okay, and now a brief word from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial with their Amazon account. Click the link at Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Want your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and help keep the lights on the podcast running.
Please. Please.
Help us.
Help us. You're our only hope. And let's go ahead and start with what's new on the blog. Nancy, what do we have? What do we have this week?
Well, Bria is, as always, continuing on her... What are we going to do when Bria's actually done with the Waru Express and we don't have updates?
Give her another mega series of posts to write.
No, just make her do it again.
No. Never.
In reverse order.
No.
Ooh, because by publishing date.
Because those who don't learn history are doomed to repeat it.
I know where you people live. Just pointing
that out.
You
don't know where I live.
Oh, so yes, Bria is continuing on the Waru Express, and she is thick in the New Jedi Order. I believe your last post was from Dark Journey through Destiny's Way, and we just have one chunk of books left. Yay!
Well, what is that last chunk of books you're looking at?
I just finished the second of the Forest Heretic books, so I've got one more of those, then the Final Prophecy and the Unifying Force.
Yeah, Unifying Force.
And after that, it's Darkness.
Nope. Oh, wait, yes, it is.
No. It's not
it's
there.
It's not. Nope. And they all lived happily ever after.
The end.
Indeed.
Bria also reviewed Legacy number 2, was it?
Yeah.
And you are still liking it, I presume?
Yeah, it's been very good. Everyone should go pick it up.
Cool. And Bria also attended AwesomeCon last weekend and wrote a recap of it. And there were lots of cool costumes and cool happenings, correct?
Indeed.
Awesome.
Head over to the blog for links to all of that.
See what I did there?
I do see what you did there. Yes, yes, I do.
Whether he wants to or not.
Okay, before we get too much further sidetracked, Fixer's Flash, what we've been up to in our own mundane geeky lives, and as is traditional on this show, we start with Nancy.
I took another trip to the Magic Kingdom, because that's what you do when you live in Orlando. and it was fun. My mom and I met Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck. We saw the Hall of Presidents, and I once again lamented that it's a sausage fest.
The female part in that attraction is really, really underwritten.
It really is. And it was a fun, enjoyable day, except the parade was canceled because it was kind of stormy out. So they did their rainy day cavalcade instead, which is basically the characters are the masked characters are all like kind of just walking and high-fiving people. The dancers have umbrellas and they're just walking down the street. And the other face characters are in a covered vehicle, so they don't get their makeup ruined. But if you are ever at the Magic Kingdom and end up seeing the Rainy Day Cavalcade instead of the actual daily parade, I will tell you to run away because that song will be in your head 3 days later.
In the business, we call that an earworm.
Oh, God, it's yeah. It's even, no, it's worse than It's a Small World. And I didn't think that was possible. Stop it. Uh-oh. Stop it.
Okay. And we are witnessing a breakup live on the air.
Stop it or I will sing the Rainy Day Cavalcade song.
Okay, moving on.
Okay. Now everybody sing.
I also saw 42, which was the Jackie Robinson biopic. I thought it was a good movie, but it was kind of overly schmaltzy in parts, as, you know, biopics tend to be. But it was enjoyable, and Harrison Ford was very growly. He was actually acting in this movie.
He was actually acting, but I went and saw it over the weekend as well. I couldn't help but think that he was doing Branch Rickey a la Richard Nixon's Head in a Jar from Futurama.
Yeah, so moving on.
Did he have Headless Agnew?
Headless Agnew was not there, I'm sorry. No Headless Agnew.
Oh, and I also read the second installment of Dragonpocalypse by our podcast overlord, Vassy Bowers. You should go pick up a copy because there are space dragons in it.
What more space do you need dragon. Than space dragons?
Right.
Space dragons.
Brian, what have you been up to?
Not sleeping very much.
And why is that?
It's your fault.
It's my fault. Because
it is your fault.
Wow.
Wow, I'm really good.
It is your fault, and to quote the illustrious John Green, context is everything. Context is everything because you loaned me a copy of Season of Passage by Christopher Pike.
Oh, did I?
Yes, I've never been more terrified in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This sounds like you. The time I watched the Slender Man videos back to back to back.
Ah, no. Season of Passage is this fantastic science fiction horror thriller novel, and it's more terrifying than every horror film I've seen.
It really is. It's very scary.
I will own up to this. I was reading this 3 nights ago, and I had to sleep with the light on.
You didn't tell me that.
I slept with the light on after reading part of that book.
Aww.
I like the way that went from mocking laughter to sympathy back to mocking laughter.
That's really the story of my life. Mocking laughter, sympathy, mocking laughter.
It's because I've been there many times. I've read this book probably about 5 times. And even though I know it's going to happen, I still get freaked out.
Yeah, this is a fantastic book. If you haven't read it before, go get a copy. Yes. And I picked up a shiny geeky gadget that's perfect for convention season.
And what is that?
A shiny new camera. It's a shiny new full-frame camera that'll be fantastic for costume shoots and just capturing the sights of your typical nerd convention.
Excellent. You volunteered yourself to shoot the Star Wars stuff at Dragon Con this year.
Crap!
Uh,
Yes.
Fair warning.
New camera, scary book. That's pretty much been the extent of my week. But, as is customary, when we have guests on the show, we drag them into this segment, kicking and screaming. Hey, Bria, what have you been up to?
Well, as you might have guessed from the post I put up on the site earlier, I was at AwesomeCon this weekend. It is the first comic book convention in DC, so that was pretty cool. It was a nice little convention. There was a decent number of customers there, although I will highly suggest against riding the Metro in a S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform, because you will get very strange looks. And when you offer to help someone who looks confused and lost, they will look at you like you are the devil incarnate and have grown a second head.
Is it any worse than getting on the MARTA in Atlanta while wearing, I don't know, I'm just using an example of something I've seen, a TARDIS dress?
Oh, it's so much worse. It's so much worse. Because in D.C., at least the people in Atlanta know it's coming. D.C. had no idea what was going on, because this was the very first one. So I'm walking down, you know, walking through the Metro in a black cat suit. So I'll let you imagine the looks I was getting then. But it was a good convention, though. I went actually hit up a panel that I think both Brian and Nancy would have liked. It was about writing fantasy. Talked about some good stuff, and I got a free book because I asked a question. So that always works out well. And then I'm going to try and get a costume roundup post soon, hopefully in the next day or so.
Ooh, fantastic.
And besides from that, I am just working my way through the last couple books of the New Jedi Order. Hopefully I'll finish it by Friday. And then I will pretend I don't have to read the next three books, because they're just painful.
Because the next three books involve Killick Joiners?
Yeah. Jedi bug sex. I don't...
Ugh. Thank you, Troy Denning.
Thank you, Troy. And we wrap up this segment with Shane. Shane, regale us with your tales of geekdom.
Let me tell you about my adventures in geekdom.
I'm just going to mute my line and sit back here and enjoy the show.
I went to the moon and ate pot pies, and it was glorious, and drank lunar whiskey, and actually I didn't do anything nearly that awesome. What I did do was I descended further into uncharted territories of geekdom, because this was a thing that I didn't know I could possibly do. I'm actually, if I have a geek scorecard, then I have moved from one level of geekdom to another. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to take prestige classes in geekdom.
You sure this isn't a pyramid scheme?
Oh, it's a terrible pyramid scheme.
Okay, just checking. So,
yeah. But... I took a couple prestige classes in very specific kinds of geekdom, and I don't immediately know how to feel about this, but I've been following esports.
Esports?
I've been watching the League of Legends Championship Series for North America and Europe for the past, like, 8 weeks.
Clearly, I am watching the wrong sports on the weekends.
Shane. Oh, this is on during the week, too.
Shane, when it comes back, you need to listen to the FSL Tonight podcast.
Oh God!
It's fake sports, but they're all like, but they're all named after like fandom things. So it's like the Coruscant Empire, the Vulcan Velocity, and they have a league, and then every episode is like a rundown of the like it's SportsCenter basically. It's awesome.
I'm just hoping that, you know, we get the Coruscant Dreadnoughts in there and get some good Smash Ball action. And then I felt kind of bad because I remembered what Smash Ball was. And aside from that, I've been trying to reacquaint myself with some of the stuff that I know is coming up in the summer movies, since that may or may not be what we talk about today. Foreshadowing.
Bum, bum, bum.
But I rewatched the 09 Abrams Star Trek movie and was looking at it and trying to really try to get back into it, because before too terribly long, we're going to have another one. And I noticed some things in it that I had kind of forgotten about that I really hope get changed. Because, and I'm not just talking about lens flare, because there was plenty of that. When there's enough lens flare in the movie that the director actively comes out and apologizes for the lens flare, that's too much lens flare. But there was the stuff like playing Sabotage on the Corvette stereo as young James T. Kirk drives
the cigar. Yo, it's a Sabotage.
Got that. Because, you know, 150, 160 years in the future, why not? Or further, I suppose, 200 years in the future. But, you know, why wouldn't you be playing 210-year-old music at that point? Also, the fact that they wrecked a 1966 Corvette. I'm not entirely sure on the year, but I'm fairly sure. And the random quarry in the middle of Iowa, where I have been, that doesn't exist. And just a couple of little things like that. Most of my problems with that movie were like in the first 10 minutes. So I'm just hoping we're past all that now. I don't have anything I can roll my eyes at in the future.
Okay.
And sadly, that's all I've been up to because I don't have a rocket to go to the moon and drink lunar whiskey and eat pot pies.
Man, I want lunar whiskey now.
How about pot pies? I can make that happen.
I could go for a pot pie.
What about Wyron's Reserve?
Yes.
That needs to be Emily's next installment in Bake It So.
Emily needs a distillery.
She needs to make Wyron's Reserve.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've thought about doing it a few times.
There you go.
Oh, I can't have a still in suburbia. That's not socially acceptable.
But you don't just kind of like figure out what it would be. It's like my friends who made butterbeer.
Huh. Apparently Emily's already figured it out. We're just going to call it Woodford Reserve Bourbon and be done with it.
Wow. Okay. Well, see, she works fast.
Well, it was a brilliant idea, and I commend her for it.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and move into Deke's Dirt, where we address the news from around fandom, and we start with some Kathleen Kennedy and Episode 7-related information.
What? There's Episode 7 information?
Well, not really, no.
But, at CinemaCon, Kathleen Kennedy talked about Episode 7 and the Star Wars spinoffs, basically saying J.J. Abrams may direct the Episode 8 and 9 if Episode 7 goes well. Also, that they have people in mind to direct the standalone movies, and no, she's not telling.
Can I interject here real quick?
No.
As if Episode 7 isn't going to make bank? It wouldn't matter if it was a movie that was shot on a Super 8 camera. 8 billion people are going to see this movie.
Now I kind of want to see Star Wars shot on a Super 8 camera.
No, because there are people who are unhappy about you know, what's going on with Star Wars, and they're going to boycott.
Oh,
right.
Yes, I'm sure.
No, they won't.
If they throw away the EU, they will not see Episode 7.
They are going to boycott, and they are going to start a change.org petition. Damn it.
Lies. All lies. Yeah. Everyone will be there.
I'm going to give Episode 7 a chance. I will stand by this piece of information. I did not see Revenge of the Sith in theaters, and I've only ever seen it once legitimately.
You get off this podcast right now. I don't know you anymore. Shane, you're breaking my heart.
Oh, God. Oh. Now I won off of this podcast. This is like sand. It gets everywhere and it's itchy.
It's okay. The podcast is soft and smooth here. Everything's okay.
This episode has been brought to you by Amtrak Railways. Occasional derailments. Please don't sue us, Amtrak.
Seattle monorail.
Oh, and going back to my venture to Magic Kingdom, I saw the Iron Man 3 monorail. Woot!
Jealous.
Yep, I didn't even have to try. Just pulled in on into the station.
Well timed.
My mom was like, "Why are you excited? What's the big deal? It's just a monorail." And then she proceeded to tell me how she doesn't like Robert Downey Jr. And I was like, okay.
This relationship over.
Sorry,
I don't
Mom.
Think that's permissible by law to not like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Yeah, and I'm like, okay. Well, then you wouldn't really like Iron Man, because basically Iron Man is Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, true. Iron Man plays a great Robert Downey Jr. Yes. Tony Stark's Robert Downey Jr., excellent impression, excellent characterization all around.
Yeah, so getting back to Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh, right, we have a podcast.
We had a track that we were on at some point in the past?
Yes, we have show notes. They should be in front of you.
The devil, you say.
Kathleen Kennedy also is in kind of a rumor, is in the running to take over Disney, possibly, when Bob Iger retires.
I could see this one. I think it's an outside shot, but Kathleen Kennedy is hugely respected in the film industry and entertainment industry. And I think Disney could definitely do a lot worse than her to take over.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, it's nothing concrete. I think it was more speculation by Variety than anything else, but it's an interesting possibility to consider. And for Star Wars fans, what that would mean is the person that George Lucas went and sought out personally would be overseeing all of Disney, and therefore all of Lucasfilm. So that would be interesting.
Yes. In some expanded universe news, Vader's Little Princess, which is the adorable follow-up to the adorable Vader and Son, came out on Tuesday. It was written by Jeffrey Brown, and it's basically children's picture book AU fan fiction, in which Darth Vader is actually a good dad.
And doesn't this fandom need more picture book AU fan fiction?
Yes. And apparently he is also doing a third picture book called Jedi Academy, starring Yoda, and it takes place several hundred years before the movies.
Aw.
I know. This will be it'll be like that scene in Attack of the Clones for an entire book.
Aw.
Yes. And that is the best scene in that movie.
Maybe personally, that'll be one of the side movies.
I would watch Yoda training little kids for 2 hours. It would be adorable. They'd be like, "Hi, Master Obi-Wan. Hello."
Personally, I'm looking forward to green eggs and bantha steaks.
Aww.
And in other expanded universe releases, that's slightly more expanded universe-y, Legacy number 2 was released today, Wednesday. Bria read it. Bria liked it.
And you can read it on the blog again.
Go check out our review there. Link's in the show notes.
Good.
And let's go ahead and slide away from Star Wars and move briefly into that other Star franchise. Star Search!
Stargate?
No.
Oh.
Galaxy Quest? Oh, right. Galaxy Quest.
Oh, God. My wife's going to come in here and hit me with a shoe for whatever you're about to say.
Come on. We all know that Galaxy Quest is the best Star Trek movie ever.
He said it. I didn't say it. Don't hurt me.
I thought that was the one with the whales.
No! Put the fire poker down. It's going to be okay.
Listeners, do you agree?
Our podcast has been bombed by Emily.
Galaxy Quest, best Star Trek movie ever, but...
Brian, shut up!
Emily's gonna kill us both.
We're off the rails now. Okay, but for real. A teaser trip for Star Trek Into Darkness hit the interwebs earlier this week.
And it was Star Trek-y.
Yes.
I didn't watch it.
It will come as no surprise that Captain Kirk is not a fan of the Prime Directive. Who could have thought?
What?
Right.
Captain Kirk is also climbing a mountain.
Why is he climbing a mountain?
Because he did in Star Trek V. Why wouldn't you want to take notes from Star Trek V?
I could think of a number of reasons.
Oh, I can too.
Oh,
I can only hope that Zachary Quinto gets into singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat in this movie.
Oh. for the record, our sister podcast, Wrong Opinions About Movies, is doing a big old Star Trek film retrospective. I feel sorry for whoever got assigned Star Trek V.
I like to think that they just didn't.
My friends were actually watching it tonight and live tweeting it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's one of those movies that I have sat down and tried to watch it in an ironic, comedic effect sort of way. And it does, it's so bad it doesn't even work.
Some films just exist in this place where we try not to imagine they ever came out. I mean, just, that's one of them, Star Trek V. And a final bit of, oh wait, never mind, I missed a bullet point. There was another trailer or a teaser video that dropped.
There was?
Yes, there was.
Yes, there was. The trailer of glorious hair.
And not so glorious hair.
I am also Loki, and I am burdened with glorious hair.
Not anymore, he's not.
No kidding.
I was like, what did they do to you in prison?
If you haven't figured it out, it's Thor.
Let's not talk about what happened to Loki in prison.
Yeah, we're talking about Thor.
Thor, the Dark World.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Thor was my favorite of the Marvel movies, so I'm very excited.
Yes, the trailer dropped, and as the kids say on Tumblr, it gave people the feels.
Yep.
I can't think about a Thor trailer anymore without thinking back to the Conan O'Brien sketches where they went back and redubbed all of his lines with the squeaky, effeminate voice.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. And there's some idle speculation that Natalie Portman's character might bite the bullet in this one.
Would it be really horrible if I said I hope so?
No, because I kind of hope so, too.
I like Sif so much. I like Sif so much better.
Agreed. I wouldn't be heartbroken.
It's Jane Foster. That would be very unfortunate.
But I'll keep my mouth shut about Natalie Portman.
God.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
We probably should.
Yeah.
It won't lead to more hilarity.
We can move on to other Marvel news.
We can! Film rights for Daredevil have reverted back to Marvel from Fox.
Yeehaw! More movies about the superhero whose superpower is he's blind, but he can see.
No, no. Do not diss Daredevil.
We got a throwdown here.
No, all I really want now is I'm hoping the rights to Elektra went back as well so that we can pretend that movie with Jennifer Garner never happened. But all I want now is a movie with Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, preferably also Maya Lopez because she's my favorite, and it'll just be amazing. It'll be Marvel Knights. We can have a TV show. It'll be beautiful. That's
okay.
All
I am totally with you except for the part with Daredevil.
you accept a compromise with Heroes for Hire?
Yes. I am perfectly fine with having a Marvel movie that is actually just Iron Fist and Luke Cage. As long as we keep Nicolas Cage out of it.
But you better involve Colleen Wing and Misty Knight as well, I'm just saying, because they're pretty badass. Oh, wait, I can't say that on the podcast, can I?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
And that's badass.
Now, go get Spidey back from Sony.
Please. Go get the X-Men back from Fox, please.
Oh, please.
Stop making Days of Future Past, because it's just going to...
Hey.
First Class was pretty good.
No. We need Days of Future Past.
No.
I need my Fassbender fix.
I need a decent Emma Frost in a film, and I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, I'm sorry. Fassbender.
Oh, is what's-her-name back to play Emma Frost again?
I think so.
Oh.
I'm pouting right now, just so everyone knows.
Let's be clear. Our problem with January Jones. That's the name, right?
Yes.
Our problem with January Jones is simply that she's a terrible actress.
She's boring as hell.
And Emma Frost is such an interesting character.
It's not even just the acting. It's the fact that they didn't write her well in the film. They didn't write the character well. So, like,
you have an actress who didn't really seem to get the part with a badly written part, and it's just bad news all around.
I mean, how do you make Emma Frost boring?
X-Men First Class, let me point you to it. I still have residual anger about this, clearly.
I still like Fassbender.
You see, anytime I feel like I need to get my fix on Days of Future Past, I go and I watch that 5 or 10 minutes that was in that one episode of the 90s cartoon, and then I'm okay.
I just hope they have another great use of their one allotable F-bomb for a PG-13 movie.
Yes. Oh boy.
That was so awesome.
Best cameo ever. Best. Okay, and keeping this right on the rails at least for another 38 seconds, we're going to go ahead and move into Cammy's concerns and discuss the discussion topic of the week. We're going to look at the this year's summer movies and discuss what we want to see, what we don't want to see, and why and the films we're confused even exist.
Yay, and I will thank Entertainment Weekly for their magazine this week, which is where I got all the release dates and the movies. And those are not all of them. Those are just the ones that I thought would be popular and or related to genre films.
And we're going to start off with the summer kicking off on May 3rd. Technically not summer, but that's when the summer blockbuster season starts. Don't ask me. I didn't make it up. With Iron Man 3. Okay.
By the way, we need to keep that part of the recording and use that as our intro music from now on.
There we go.
I hate you.
Immortality, Bria. Immortality.
I thought we already had that with the Wabaroo, but okay. Be Iron Man!
So do we just want to let Bria gush a bit?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bria.
The premiere is actually happening right now, so that's pretty cool. Basically, from everything I've been hearing, this is the best Marvel movie yet, from what everyone who's seen it already has been saying. If you haven't seen the trailers, you need to do that, because they look pretty freaking awesome, and it's going to be a freaking good movie, and everyone should go see it. And that's all I'm going to say right now.
You know, I can't get past this. Is it really the best Marvel movie ever? Because I was a real fan of Christopher Lee and Red Brown in the made-for-TV Captain America movie, Captain America 2, Death Too Soon.
We're just going to let this awkward silence stand as a monument to that joke.
Yeah, we can't get into a lot of arguments because we got a lot of movies to talk about, people.
No, the joke was that I remember it. That's the whole joke. We can move on.
There we go. Moving on May 10th, Great Gatsby.
My mom is excited about this movie because she loves Leonardo DiCaprio. And then I had to explain to her what The Great Gatsby actually was. I'm like, it's a book. And she's like, what's it about? I'm like, I actually don't know. I've never read it, but it's a book.
I can sum it up very quickly.
People suck.
Hip-hop ballers in the 1920s.
Now I really want to see this.
It looks like it's going to be good. And what isn't it like a Jay-Z or something is, or someone is doing the soundtrack?
I don't know. Yeah, they had a lot of stuff, like new songs for the soundtrack. I just know I loved Moulin Rouge, and Baz Luhrmann is directing this movie too. So it'll definitely be a spectacle.
Now, I am looking forward to this movie. I mean, on the one hand, you've got Leonardo DiCaprio, but I do have a reservation. On the other hand, you have Tobey Maguire. And whenever Tobey Maguire shows up, I can't help but think of that Tumblr GIF set that pretty much documents how Spider-Man 3 burned to the ground around him.
We're not supposed to talk about that, Brian. It never happened.
But a movie which, by the way, when you watch it for irony and hilarity, it does work.
But Great Gatsby also has Uncle Owen. Oh. Joel Edgerton. He's been in a lot of movies.
Fantastic. And on May 17, we have Star Trek Into Darkness.
I don't think anyone here wants to see that movie.
Nah, I could live without it.
I presume we're all be going to see this one.
Yeah, we're all going to go see
this one. Opening night, if not midnight showing.
I think Brian and I, me and you are going to go when you're here.
I'm visiting next month, and I think we were talking about the 18th going to see it.
Yes, because I'm too old to see midnight shows anymore that aren't Star Wars.
And I have a flight at 6 a.m. to catch. And May 24th is The Hangover Part 3.
I saw this. The trailer made me laugh really hard. I saw it this weekend. I never saw the second one, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be returned in the first one. I don't know if any of you saw the first one, but the first one was kind of hilarious.
I don't know how they got two movies out of this concept, let alone three.
This really seems like one of those movies where you wait about 2 weeks to see what people are saying about it, and then you make your decision.
Yeah, I didn't see The Hangover in the theater. The Hangover was like everyone was talking about it, and I'm like, well, let's go rent this movie. And then I was like, oh, this is really funny.
And you know, even after waiting 2 weeks, I think I'd still need some kind of buy one, get one, ticket free deal to consider.
But don't get me wrong. I'm not going to go to the theaters and see it regardless.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it either. I never saw the first one.
It's funny. There's also Cute Baby in it, so I'm biased.
Oh, boy. Also on May 24th.
It was the selling point of that movie.
Also on May 24th. No. Not really? No. I'm looking at this note and I can't believe it.
Because, in fact, this is a franchise that has sustained not 3, 4, or 5 movies, but apparently 6.
Fast and Furious 6?
It's because The Rock came into the franchise, and apparently The Rock is a franchise reviver.
Six Furious.
Okay, I'm sorry, but if Fast and Furious can support 6 movies, Star Wars can do way more than just a movie a year without being oversaturated.
And Star Wars has speeder chases. That's even better than car chases.
I'm taking a half hour out of the middle of my movie to go to the concession stand and get some popcorn.
Fast and Furious 6. Wow.
Yeah, Rock is in it.
I.
Jason Statham, apparently. Vin Diesel. Paul Walker. All the people. Yeah. All these people.
Okay, so that's a thing. And June 7. It's After Earth. This is the one with Will Smith, right?
Will and Jaden Smith, yes.
So when I saw the preview for this, the last movie I went to go see, I was intrigued. And then I saw the director name.
Who's directing? Yeah, but I'm still willing to give it a chance.
Who's directing it?
M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalama Ding Dong is doing this.
What a twist.
Actually, the twist is that there is no twist in this movie.
Oh, wow. Twist. It when it happens.
I think it looks interesting.
But... if they go back and realize that it's actually not Earth, but a planet. It's like Earth, but millions of years ago because they time traveled, like in Planet of the Apes.
So it's like Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
So it's like Planet of the Apes. Are they going to get down there, look at the blown up remnants of the Statue of Liberty or the Lincoln Memorial, and Will Smith is going to fall to his knees and exclaim something overly dramatically?
We're in a much more circumspect kind of age now. We don't have to have this in the U.S. Let's make it Big Ben or the Arc de Triomphe. That's totally original.
Oh, man, we are really dialing up the snark on this podcast.
You're welcome.
It says I still want to see it, though.
Maybe on
a rental, but I still want to see it.
I don't know if I'll go out of my way to see it, but I'm probably going to go see it at some point.
Yeah.
And
we will go see the next movie.
Yes, also on June 7, a movie I'm really excited about, and I actually mean that. I'm really excited about this one.
Yes, Much Ado About Nothing, the Joss Whedon vehicle. His follow-up to Avengers is a Shakespeare play. Because why not?
And because only Joss Whedon can go, I have a week off from filming the Avengers. I'm going to go call up a bunch of my closest friends and film a Shakespeare play.
At my house.
Which, you know, he could have done better stuff with that week. He could have made Dr. Horrible, too.
They're working on that, apparently.
It's going to be wonderful.
But yes, yeah. much ado about nothing. All of your Whedon favorites show up to recreate one of the great Shakespeare plays.
I'm just really looking forward to Nathan Fillion playing Dogberry.
Perfect casting is perfect.
Seriously, that'll be hilarious.
I mean, you've got Nathan Fillion, you've got Clark Gregg, you've got Sean Maher, you've got
Amy Acker.
It will be hard to top the Kenneth Branagh version, but I still want to see it. The Kenneth Branagh version is kind of what I have in my head for this play. And
let's be fair, it does not have Keanu Reeves in it.
That is true.
Although watch as Keanu Reeves shows up in the background just because.
I love that Keanu Reeves plays a character called John the Bastard.
By the way, if you haven't seen the Kenneth Branagh version of Much Ado About Nothing, I suggest hitting up Netflix and finding it.
Yes, it's streaming.
It's one of those movies that starts, the title screen pops up, when the main characters fist pump it into existence.
Had this been recorded a few years earlier, there would have been a great montage sequence with some crap 80s pop band to go with it.
No.
And moving a week later, we've got Man of Steel, June 14.
And I am strongly looking forward to this movie because it does something that Superman has not ever really had. It gives him pathos in a believable way.
Yes. I'm really looking forward to this, too. Because I know, I've heard so many people say over the years that Batman is more interesting than Superman because Batman doesn't really have powers and Superman is, you know, it's boring because he can just do anything and he has super strength and that's why they have to give him kryptonite to, you know, take away his powers. And I'm like, but the superpower thing is not what it's about. It should be about him and having to deal with the fact that he is the only person from his planet and he can't tell anyone. And that's what's interesting.
I think the part that's even more interesting, though, is that they've taken that thing that's supposed to be his biggest strength. He has these superpowers, and they've turned it in such a way that it's something of a hindrance to his very existence. Not just the being an outcast because he can't reveal himself to anyone, but the fact that he has to train himself so that he can't hear everyone in the world talking all the time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It adds some kind of tortured background to it, which we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. Bria, you were really excited about this too, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a Superman fan, but I am a fan of Henry Cavill, who is playing the, you know, Superman. But I mean, regardless, I think the trailers look good, and I'm actually a fan of Zack Snyder's films, so I've been feeling pretty darn positive about it since they announced, the lead and the director. So, and the last trailer, I think, is what got everyone on board with the film. So I think it'll be good.
I have to say, I was really meh about this film until I saw this last trailer. Because I remember one of the early teaser trailers, it just came and focused on Clark Kent on a crabbing boat.
Yeah.
And I was very confused.
I also appreciate the jokes about everyone wanting Henry Cavill's razors. Because he goes from, you know, big, burly man with a beard to completely smooth baby's butt face.
Which leads to one of those odd questions that oddly has an answer. How do you think Superman shaves?
We've
all seen the animated GIF, right? He uses his laser vision off him, or his laser vision
yes,
off
it was on an episode of Lois and Clark.
I forget that, but I can imagine that it would happen because that was that kind of show, and I love that show. I don't care what anyone says.
Lois and Clark was the perfect amount of camp for a superhero television show in the 90s.
But then it got bad.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
They learned from the way that they did The Flash, because apparently having Mark Hamill play the trickster is not quite enough to save you after one season.
Okay, and one more week out. On June 21st, we've got World War Z.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about this movie, except it's based on a book and Brad Pitt is in it.
Hang on a second. I'm going to go pull up the...
It's about zombies. I know that.
Okay. IO9
I can tell
has
you about the book.
Tell us about the book, Shane.
The book is how the U.S. government deals with a zombie apocalypse and wins.
And here is the description. Here is the description from IO9. World War Z, June 21st. As long as you don't think this is an adaptation of Max Brooks' acclaimed novel about a zombie Holocaust, you stand a chance of enjoying it.
Awkward.
They paid for the name and then made an unrelated movie. In this one, Brad Pitt is a heroic disease expert who travels around the world trying to stop the zombie plague before it's too late. And by all accounts, they shot a version that was more political and thoughtful before deciding to retool it into just a straight-up action movie.
It's Starship Troopers all over again.
Yep. But at least Cabin in the Woods, Maestro Drew Goddard worked on the revamped ending, and some footage was shown at CinemaCon, which blew the IO9's crew's heads off with its nonstop brutal action. Here's an interesting choice of words. There are World War Z on June 21st. Also on June 21st, Disney Pixar has something for us.
Yep, Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc. And I think this kind of looks cute. I don't know if I'm going to go see it in the movies, but I really liked Monsters, Inc., so we'll see.
I have to fess up and admit that I actually never saw Monsters, Inc., so...
Aw, boo!
I let down my generation, but...
I'm being pushed away from the microphone. Dear.
Okay, and moving into the month of July, the month starts on July 3rd with The Lone Ranger.
A movie that... One
it's
of those things that I didn't want to be interested. And then I saw that last trailer, and it's piqued my interest. I'm not sold on it yet. It's one of those movies I'll end up seeing in theaters just because my dad wants to see it. But it has done a little bit to pique my interest. I'm still not over the Johnny Depp is an Apache.
Exactly. That's my problem with it. Is Johnny Depp as... Yeah, it makes no sense. And I just don't think it was necessary to make the film or remake it, whatever you're calling, whatever the right term is. I'm sure I'll end up seeing it, and I'm sure it'll make a crap ton of money. But
I was actually surprised that they were making it, because I had heard, weren't there a lot of issues with this movie? Like, that they were making it, and then it was on hold, and they were making it again, it was on hold. I don't know. Whoa.
I think the one thing that I am kind of looking forward to the potential of this movie is that it will do for the modern Western what Pirates of the Caribbean did for the modern swashbuckler.
I could see that.
Maybe.
That's my hope for it. I'm not going to be terribly realistic in thinking that's going to happen, but it might.
Now, will this be better or worse than Johnny Depp's one of his last films, Dark Shadows?
I imagine it's going to be better, mostly because it's not trying to be funny and tremendously failing.
And it doesn't have much farther down to go, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, I think you could have a dead cat bounce here and be better than Dark Shadows. Yeah. And on July 12th is... I think the movie I might be looking forward to most this summer, Pacific Rim.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I'm not. I'm really excited.
Relationship over.
Oh, no, it looks awesome.
It
Nancy
looks
Hodge.
Like
it
LaCrosse
was
or Gundam. And I want to see it so much.
I'm just going to sit here and shake my head at all you people.
Giant robots. Idris Elba.
Idris Elba and giant robots.
It. Idris Elba couldn't even help Prometheus, guys. Come on.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh. Oh, uh-oh. Oh, snap. Them be fighting words.
I'm actually kind of with Nancy on this one. I'll wait for the DVD.
See, I'm one of the people who really, really, really liked Cloverfield, so I think that's why I'm just kind of like, oh, this looks stupid.
See, this is my pick for brainless action flick of the summer.
It just reminds me of, like, seeing the Transformers trailers, and then I was forced to go see Transformers, and I was like, well, no.
It's not Michael Bay. That's the very
part. It's Del Toro, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Del Toro.
Okay, it's not going to be brainless then.
But it still gave me the same feelings. Yeah, see.
It's going to be awesome. Just accept it.
I'm excited for it.
No.
Fingers and ears. La, 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 la.
Moving ahead to July 19th. The Dude Abides in R.I.P.D.
God.
Is that every guy's immediate reaction to that movie?
Yes.
Pretty much, yes.
In it. Okay.
What is this film? I never even heard of it.
Rest in Peace Division. They're undead cops.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. And going back to the IO9 description, based on a comic book, this film stars Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges as two zombie members of the Rest in Peace Division, keeping the world safe from the monstrous Deados. Our first impression was that Jeff Bridges completely runs away with the movie, which is by no means a bad thing. A lot of the humor comes from the fact that ordinary humans see Reynolds as a small Asian man and Bridges as a Victoria's Secret model. I have no idea what to make of that description.
I don't know.
Words.
Oh, and moving right ahead to July 26th, The Wolverine.
I still can't breathe. Hold on. I'm good.
Okay.
Sorry.
July 26th, The Wolverine. Hugh Jackman's back, and this time he ain't miserable.
Oh, man, I just can't wait for another Wolverine movie.
It has to be better. It has to be better than the last one. That's what I'm telling myself.
Okay, let's be honest about this. What would not have been better than X-Men Origins Wolverine?
X-Men Origins Wolverine is directed by Uwe Boll.
No, that would have been more entertaining. I would have laughed much harder at it.
I will say X-Men Origins did have a couple of good points. I would say the first like 10 to 15 minutes of the movie were enjoyable. I liked them a lot. And I also liked them with Taylor Kitsch's Gambit, but the rest of it,
for the 5 minutes he was on screen.
I didn't say it was a large part, but... But seriously, going back to the one that's coming out this year, I think it's going to be good. I was actually surprised because given how one of the post-credits teasers that they showed after the other Wolverine film was of Logan showing up in a bar in Japan, I thought this was going to be another prequel before the X films. But apparently it's taking place after X-Men 3. So it should be interesting, except then we'll have Logan moping over Jean Grey, so that might not be so good. But
I was going to say, we're really going to bring X-Men 3 into this now, too, because if there's any movie that I liked less than I liked Spider-Man 3, it was X-Men 3.
I don't think X-Men 3 was better than...
I got to go with X-Men 3 over Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
I had much higher expectations for X-Men 3 than I did Spider-Man 3.
I give X-Men 3 credit for having interesting dialogue that the actors and director butchered.
No one danced.
No one danced, this is true. There is no iconic moment in which the movie burns to the ground around Tobey Maguire.
I'm sitting here trying to come up with a way to say, and Tobey Maguire didn't slap his girlfriend.
And into the month of August we go with 300, Rise of an Empire. This will be out on August 2nd.
I didn't even know they were making this movie. That's why I put it down, because I was like, what? Really?
I've had that reaction a couple of times, sequels that I didn't think were ever going to happen. Although, in fairness to me, I didn't know there was a Fast and Furious 3 until about 40 minutes ago.
Three Furious.
The 300 film should be good. Should be at least fun. That's my theory. Yeah. I like the other one.
And I think there's a lady main character, so that could be interesting. Yes.
I want to say it's
Eva Green.
Yes.
I believe she's a high-ranking officer in the army or whatever. Yep.
Yep.
Easy to see it right there.
And August 9th, Elysium.
I'm excited about this one.
Neil Blomkamp of District 9 fame is behind this one.
Yeah, I loved District 9, so I'm excited about this one. And the trailer looked really interesting. It's futuristic sci-fi. And there's a strong lady in it by the name of Jodie Foster, so I'll be there.
Sold.
Yep. Yeah, I don't really know what it's about other than there's a space station named Elysium, and the people living on Earth are, you know, Earth is kind of worn out and used up, and the people, and Elysium is like where all the rich, powerful people live. And Matt Damon is trying to get to Elysium.
So it's Firefly if we didn't leave the solar system.
Maybe.
Okay.
Huh. That's an interesting way to put it. And moving on to August 16th, I think I'll let Bria take this one, Kick-Ass 2.
I actually never finished reading the comics, so I might not be able to talk too much about it. But if it's anything like the first film, and I'm expecting it'll just be like the first film. So if you liked the first film, go see it. That's all I got to say about this.
That's our succinct answer there. But I think Bria will definitely have something to say about the film coming out on August 16th as well.
Yes.
Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
I'm stupidly excited for this film. The first one might have been kind of mediocre, but, you know, it happens. But the point is that the Percy Jackson books, I don't care that they're supposedly for kids, they're really good books. And the trailer for this one looks like they've actually fixed a lot of the problems that they had for the first film, including Anne Bess Hare being not blonde. So that's going to be good. Oh, and if you need another reason to see it, Anthony Stewart Head is in. So
what, he is?
Yes, he's playing the centaur.
So we don't get any more James Bond centaur?
No, it's Anthony Stewart Head.
Forget it, not seeing it.
No, wait, Stanley Tucci is being Dionysus. So he's going to be this cranky old man in a Hawaiian shirt drinking Diet Coke because Zeus said he wasn't allowed to drink wine anymore.
Wait. So this fulfills my requirement of Stanley Tucci for all the films?
Yes.
Sold.
Awesome.
Also, you should go read the books if you haven't. I'm just saying, because they're awesome.
Okay.
And the last one on our list, The Mortal Instrument, City of Bones, on August 23rd. Someone's going to have to fill me in on this one, because I have no idea what it is.
It's the Cassie Clare book.
Draco in Leather Pants.
Yeah.
Why is this on our list?
Because it's a popular thing, Brian.
Why is this a popular thing?
Well, we could talk about, you know, what teenage girls like and stuff like that, but we don't have that long on the podcast.
Or the ethics of the author of that book.
What?
We'll leave that one sitting there. I'm diving into IO9's list for summer movies. Ah, there's another one that looks interesting. On August 23rd, The World's End, the third collaboration between co-writers and co-stars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
It's the end of the ice cream trilogy, the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy.
I have no idea.
The first two movies, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, their production names were named after certain kinds of ice cream, and I may have those names wrong, but they call it something like the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy. They were planning on doing three films.
It could be, yes.
That sounds about right.
And I'm looking at this screenshot of The World's End, and yes, you've got Simon Pegg, you've got Nick Frost, and you've also got Watson.
Martin Freeman.
There we go. So that could be interesting if you're fans of those movies. And that's the end of our list. Are there any other films coming out this summer we haven't talked about yet?
Oh, there's that new animated film, Epic.
Oh, right, Epic.
It could be cute.
I just have a hard time thinking that any movie that's named Epic will actually be good.
Well, especially after the last time we had Epic Movie.
So, Epic, the epic fantasy animated film with Beyoncé Knowles as the fairy tale queen.
Okay.
It could be fun.
I saw a trailer for this, and I hate to say, but my first thought, wow, this looks like CGI Fern Gully.
Does it have singing by, don't lose names. By the lost names.
Singing by Robin Williams?
No.
Tim Curry?
Yes.
I don't believe there's a Tim Curry in this movie. If there was, I'd be more excited to see it.
Done.
Every movie needs Tim Curry.
I was just astonished whenever I realized that it was not somebody impersonating him, but in fact Tim Curry doing the voice of the reporter or talking head in Young Justice.
Now I want to go watch Clue.
Always a solid life choice.
Right?
I want to watch Home Alone, too.
That's how it could have happened.
Actually happened.
Okay, that was Cammy's Concerns this week, a look at the summer films of this year and our thoughts on what we want to see and don't want to see. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up with a segment we call Ask Us Anything, where we poll the audience and we answer your questions against our better judgment.
Yay.
And we start off with a question from Twitter. Iwan asks us, do you think there can ever be sequels again for Jurassic Park, possibly even a good sequel?
Well, they're making Jurassic Park 4, supposedly.
And could it be any worse than Jurassic Park 3 was?
Oh, yes, it could have been. Look up the script that they were fixing to run with, where they had human-dinosaur hybrids.
Oh, good
heavens.
Oh,
God, that's like Alien Resurrection.
The one Joss Whedon film we don't talk about.
No, wasn't... I thought he was Alien 3.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, well, both of them are bad, so...
I heard his script was extensively rewritten without him.
To be fair, it was. He's come forward and said that the end of his script did not have some kind of bizarre human alien baby thing in it.
Well, that's a point in Joss Whedon's favor. Good judgment there.
I would just like to point out that we went from asking a question about Jurassic Park to discussing Alien Resurrection.
As you do. But,
it was my fault. But
could there be a good sequel for Jurassic Park? I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I hope so. I just... we'll see. That part of that whole movie was just the charm of... Oh my god, dinosaurs.
I think the one thing that's really important to say about this, though, is... Do we need it? Because that first movie's fantastic. And that second movie's okay. And that third movie was... Washable.
Damning with faint praise.
Had they filmed the second book and not like come up with some weird different thing for the second movie, I think they should have just stopped there and it would have been lovely.
So you're saying the whole thing in what was it, San Diego?
Yeah, no.
That shouldn't have happened.
Why would you ever bring a giant dinosaur to a city? Did no one watch King Kong?
How did the T-Rex reclose the doors on the boat?
Very carefully.
Justin on Twitter asks, of all the Iron Man armors from the movies, which is your favorite?
Ooh.
I will leave this out to Bria, because I didn't know there were different ones.
It's been comic book answers. I don't have movie answers.
There's like three more different armors in the first film alone. I think... Ooh. I want to say War Machine, which is kind of cheating, but it's not, because it's Rhodey. Aside from that, though, I am really fond of what they've been doing, what they did in the Avengers film, where the armor kind of goes on him as he dives out the window. So, if we can't count War Machine, that's my answer.
I'm going to go with that one, too.
But I'm Iron Man 3. We may have for an answer.
We certainly could.
Well, considering there seems to be a dozen armors in the trailer, yeah.
Exactly.
Let's see. Riorin asks, are there any books that you guys think would be well-suited to be animated that haven't been, either as films or as series? And I'm guessing this is beyond Star Wars. We're just going to talk books in general.
Yeah, she did specify besides the X-Wing series.
Well, there goes my answer.
Yeah.
Anything by Jim Butcher, period.
I'd love to see Tamora Pierce's Tortal books put into a TV series.
Can I say Major Wolf?
Yes.
I went my answer again.
We just assumed you were going to say that.
Live action animated, I'll take whatever they give me.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with the book I'm reading now. I think Season of Passage could be a fantastic miniseries.
Brian, did I tell you about the first trailer for Transformers and how I thought it was going to be Season of Passage and I was so excited and then Transformers came on screen and I wanted to throw something at the screen?
Oh, that's disappointing.
I was so mad. So mad.
Nut from the chat says the Icarus Hunt.
Yes.
I could do an animated short or film on that.
Mm-hmm. I also think I've only read the first installment of Night Train to Rigel, just one of Zahn's series, but it's really good. It has that space opera feel, so I think that it could be a good one. Also, the Dragon Back books that he wrote, the young adult books.
Yeah,
so basically anything Timothy Zahn wrote.
Nut in the chat asks, Chakfel, actual son or clone?
Actual son.
And she also asks, popcorn, licorice, or snow caps?
Popcorn.
Snow caps.
I don't even know what snow caps are.
The chocolate things, right?
Yeah, with the little white thingies on the top of them.
The what and the what with the what?
They're kind of like Andy's Mints.
Oh, okay.
It's chocolate.
Okay. Chocolate. Okay,
gotcha. I think they're like Andy's Mints. I'm totally... Okay, they're not Mints. So never mind. They're not Andy's Mints.
Just Google snowcap, Brian. Oh, jeez.
That's right. I have...
Come on, Brian. Get on the ball.
They're basically nonpareils, but in little Hershey Kiss form, right?
Oh, yeah. Those. Okay.
Oh, okay. Clearly.
Chocolate with sprinkles, in other words. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, well, that's our last question, which means we're at the end of another episode.
Woo!
Somehow we got here.
It wasn't because we were trying.
And I've been mauled the entire episode. I just want you to know.
Oh, has Mara the dog been needing attention?
God, get off of me.
Bria, real
but
quick.
Just things Luke Skywalker says on a Friday night.
Oh. Bria, real quick, what are you up to on the webs and where can we find you?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at ChaosBria. You can also find me at WhiteHotRoom.com, where our White Hot Room on Twitter.
And White Hot Room is
my geek fashion blog.
Doesn't everyone need some more geek fashion in their life?
Yes. Come check us out.
Shane, same prompt.
At Tank Hippie on Twitter. That's all you get.
At Tank Hippie.
Tank_Hippie, I think.
Tank underscore Hippie.
Because I watched Kelly's Heroes that day.
I never thought Kelly's Heroes would get name dropped on this podcast, but this is a momentous episode.
Sutherland up in here.
Okay, and before we can get any further off the rails, we're going to close out this show. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. If you like what you hear, go help support the podcast. It'll keep the lights on. Click on the links there on the blog. Thank you. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tosh_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tosh Station Network. We're also available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. Thank you for listening to another episode. Catch our news and columns at Tashi-Station.net. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.